Hey guys, Raf here from the End Game Investor. And today we're going to talk about reverse repos again. They are back, baby, and they are lower than ever. Well, not lower than ever, but they're lower than they've been since they peaked out New Year's Eve 2022 at 2.553 trillion. Look at all these numbers. I know in my head I'm like a genius, or I'm just looking at the screen that is showing me the numbers right now, but you can't really tell. Anyway, people are like, Robbie, you were talking about reverse repos before. Now you're not talking about them. You're just dodging the issue and you're going on to the next thing. And I can't really trust anything you say because you keep jumping from thing to thing. Well, if nothing's happening in a certain area that I was looking at before, well, I'm going to stop looking there until something else happens. And I'm going to look at where the action is. So action has not been in the reverse repos for the past few months. It hasn't done anything since the beginning of 2024. But now they are starting to move again. And so I will shift my attention to where the moving parts are. And the moving parts appear to be once again in the reverse repos. Where are we now?
Where were you at 10 p.m. last night?
Where am I now?
Oh, where are we now? We are at $286 billion in reverse repos. Remember, this is the leftover money that was printed in 2020 and 2021, and banks had no place to put it. Started to go crazy vertical around April 2021 from zero to $2.553 trillion. And now we are back down. We haven't moved since the beginning of 2024 much, where we began in February. We were a little higher in January, but in February, we're at 550 billion. And we have been skirting around 400 billion since then. And now we are at $286 billion. And we've had a big move down this month in August. Now, what does that mean? What happens when these things zero out? Well, there's something else that's going on before we get to that question. And if you look at the details of these reverse repo operations, you can see here that the participating counterparties are now at 52. Now, what does that mean in context? It means that the participating counterparties, the amount of financial institutions that are eligible to deposit reverse repos at the Fed, are down to 52. Now, if I show you that chart, then you can see what's happening in context. This is a chart that I could jigger it on myself by downloading the Excel, a CSV, whatever, of the amount of counterparties involved in each day of reverse repos from those financial institutions to the Fed. So we see here the amount of counterparties, the amount of financial institutions that are submitting this cash to the Fed in return for interest. They were around somewhere. Let me just move my face out of the way here. They hovered around 100 up and down most of 2022 and 2023. They headed down as reverse repos shrunk. And all of a sudden, yesterday, we're down to 52, which was a big jump down from about 65, 66, 70, something like that, even 2 days ago. So what this is telling me is that a lot of financial institutions are running out of extra cash to park at the Fed. This cash is going to other places. And where is it going? Well, let's see. We have a hint from Reuters.
Reuters!
We have this article from Reuters syndicated by Yahoo Finance. Fed's reverse repo drops to lowest in over 3 years. This is now 2 days old, so we'll have the wrong number in the article. We're at 286 billion. This is talking about 316 billion from yesterday. So this article is by Gertrude Chavez Dreyfus, which is a multicultural last name if I ever heard one.
Another crime against society, hyphenated names. Hey, lady, pick a f name, would you please?
And Dan Burns. New York Reuters. The New York Federal Reserve said it accepted $316.246 billion submitted to its overnight reverse repo facility on Monday, the lowest since May 2021. This is the key quote, really. Why is it going down now? And the reason might surprise you, as it surprised me. As investors sell off risk assets, they typically move into cash, which generally gets invested in the repo market, said Scott Skirm, Executive Vice President for Fixed Income and Repo at broker-dealer Curvature Securities in New York. They are very curved with nice curvature over there, and that means you can trust them. Here's another key paragraph. The move into repos amid a stock's meltdown, as opposed to the Fed's reverse repo facility, was likely the reason for some softness in repo rates on Monday, Curvature's Skirm adding that lower repos could continue all through this week. And so we have found out that when there are periods of market stress and there's a big sell-off, then volume in the repo market increases, while volume in the reverse repo market decreases. I didn't know this. I wasn't aware that this was going to happen. But now we have another reason to expect that the reverse repos are going to zero out pretty soon. What's the other reason? Because bill issuance is going to increase again, and it seems to have already started to increase back in July when issuance, net issuance for the month, meaning the amount of Treasury bills that have been issued by the Treasury minus the amount that have been retired, is now $150 billion as of July. Numbers for July, and money that goes into the reverse repos would much rather go into Treasury bills if they are available. So according to Bank of America, which has a number of about $700 billion in net bill issuance to be issued by the end of the year, we should be out of reverse repos in another 2 to 3 months if this pace continues and Bank of America is correct. Now, what happens once the reverse repos finally do zero out? Well, we have a hint in this little chart. We have three colors here. Money supply falls as reverse repos stabilize. In red, money supply stabilizes as reverse repos fall. And the blue, money supply falls as reverse repos stabilize again. You can see here in the black rectangle that I drew, the blue jiggly line is the reverse repos, the amount that's in the facility, and the red line is money supply. So we see as reverse repos stabilize over here from about, let's say, June 2022 to just before July 2023, so for about a year, money supply was going down fast when reverse repos stabilized. And we see when reverse repos went down fast, from about 21 trillion, just a little bit less, or 20.5 trillion to 400 billion. So about $1.6 trillion they fell, and money supply stabilized because this new money was being taken from the reverse repos, putting back into the money supply. The fact that money supply did not grow faster was pretty surprising, which means there are pretty intense deflationary forces on the money supply. And now we are seeing money supply peaked out over here at around March. This was April 2024 on tax day, and started to decline again. And we are in decline again. Why? Because reverse repos have stabilized and no new money has been coming in from reverse repos into the money supply. So therefore, money supply has started to fall again. Now, what happens when reverse repos finally zero out in about 2 to 3 months, according to Bank of America? Not explicitly according to Bank of America, but by their estimates of the Treasury bill net supply in the next 2 or 3 months, it should be in the next 2 to 3 months. Well, if it's the reverse repo money that is buying the Treasury bills at auction, then when there are no dollars in the reverse repo facility at all, and there's suddenly a Treasury bill auction, that money that funds that Treasury bill auction is going to have to come from reserves, bank reserves. These are bank reserves. I've shown these before. My theory here is that once we get to around $3 trillion in reserves, we are going to experience the next financial crisis. Exactly what iteration of a financial crisis, I do not know what exactly is going to be affected, but we will know when it hits, and it is coming. So reserves have already been falling since April, also post-tax day of 2024 this year. And once the reverse repos are dead, are done, then this is what is going to have to fund the Treasury bill auctions. And once they start funding the Treasury bill auctions, you're going to see money going from here, from bank reserves, into the Treasury's account at the Federal Reserve, where they will use it to spend money on a whole bunch of different things, including all the crap that you know about. So my thesis is in that about 2 to 3 months, once the reverse repos dry up, we're going to see a big meltdown in bank reserve numbers. And from there, we are going to be forced into the next financial crisis, which will spur the next printing round sometime in, let's say, September, October, maybe November, but it's still going to be this year. And what's another hint that I have that the next crisis is just around the corner? This chart from Fred. This is the 10-year minus 2-year yield curve spread, the difference between 10-year yields and 2-year yields. Now, we've seen a lot of commentary on this chart, false commentary, wrong commentary, that this indicator is broken because usually when it goes below zero, there is a recession, but that's not even true. It only leads to recession once the yield curve uninverts and goes back above zero. You see here, the recession of June 1990, or July 1990, rather, started after the yield curve uninverted and became a positive 0.45 or 45 basis points, meaning the 10-year yield was 45 basis points above the 2-year yield, and that's when the recession started after a trip below zero over here. Same thing in 2000. We had a below zero yield curve spread, meaning an inverted yield curve, and then an uninverted, it uninverted in December 2000, and by March 2001, 3 months later, we were in the 2001 recession after the dot-com bubble burst and all that other stuff. And here we had an inverted yield curve until the point of June 2007, where we got back to 16 basis points. And from there, it uninverted fully. And we were in a recession by January 2008, 6 months later. Now, we're about to cross the threshold here again. We're at 4 points below zero, 4 basis points below 0.04%. Means we could cross into positive territory any day. Doesn't mean we're not going to cross back into negative briefly, as happened here once, has happened here also. We were negative, we crossed back into positive here, back into negative. And there's some zigzagginess that is possible when we're trying to uninvert and go back above zero. I'm not saying that can happen here, but since we've been negative since June 2022, right, that for over a year now, which is the longest we've had a negative yield curve ever, I'm not expecting that once we break back above zero that we're going to go back below it. I don't think that's going to happen. I could be wrong. We'll see. If this is a portent for the future, we have a few months before this fully uninverts and we are back into the final recession of this monetary system, is what I believe.
We must believe, boy. We must believe.
And so how do you prepare for this? Well, besides stacking physical gold and silver, this video is brought to you by Monetary Metals. If you go to monetary-metals/Rafi, link in the description below, you will find this landing page where it says earn interest on gold paid in gold. I have opened an account at Monetary Metals, and so I am recommending it because this is the only non-fractional reserve interest on gold setup that I have found, and so it is legitimate. Why is it not fractional reserve? Because Monetary Metals loans out or leases out your metal to usually jewelry companies for between 2.5% and 5%. This allows the jewelry companies to forego playing the futures markets to hedge on their inventory, and instead they use the leases from Monetary Metals to save them money. And so you earn interest on your gold or your silver, and because each lease that Monetary Metals makes is oversubscribed by between 3 and 4 times, you can always get your money back at any time, provided that Monetary Metals can find another client to replace your investment with, to replace your lease with. And therefore, it is a time deposit. It's not a demand deposit. And interest on it is legitimate. It's how banking should actually work. And here you'll see my beautiful face recommending Monetary Metals. If you want to earn interest on gold and silver in gold and silver ounces, the dollar amounts are just coincidental. And at the top here, you can see that if you're an accredited investor only, you can earn 12% interest on silver in a silver bond. Link in the description below if you are an accredited investor, and so you can earn higher interest in that way. And one last thing, once your account is funded at Monetary Metals, it does take some time for the gold to move into active leases. And in that time, storage of your gold is free. There is no charge for it. Of course, I always recommend self-storage to a degree, but if you have too much, you don't want to have it all with you, and you do want to earn some interest, this is, I think, the best opportunity to do that if that is what you want. In the meantime, let's see what happens with the reverse repos. Let's see what happens to the bank reserves once they zero out, and let's see where the next financial crisis is going to come from. But let's not see how the Fed is going to respond, because we all know it's just going to be inflation. And this time, I think it will be the hyper variety.
Buckle up back there. We're going into hyperactive.
This is Rafi, the Endgame Investor, and I'll see you guys soon. You can become my patron on Patreon at the link in the description below, where the next thing we're going to discuss is torture.